Delighted to have you with us today, especially if you're visiting with us. Let me make a couple of announcements right quick, and then we will get directly into our study. First, there will be a bus leaving at 2 o'clock from our building. If you would like to ride the bus to go to the funeral visitation for David Hare's mother. And we'll be leaving at 2 o'clock from the building and be back in plenty of time for our services for tonight. Also, there's been some interest expressed in the bus or a bus going to the funeral tomorrow. We will need to leave the building at 10 o'clock. Funeral's at 11 o'clock tomorrow. And if you have interest in riding that bus, please let me know or let someone from the office know so that we'll know what arrangements need to be made and that we'll be waiting for you here. Tomorrow we'll be leaving at 10 o'clock. Today we'll be leaving at 2 o'clock if you would like to ride. I was hoping Bill Mueller and Susan would be back, be here today, because we would not have had our reading of Genesis chapter 1, 26 through 27 for our scripture reading this morning, because we would have had a different reading. And if you're reading with us through the Bible, and you are following the chronological reading, you'll notice that we have read now the first six chapters of the book of Chronicles. How'd you like that? And some, no reaction, that means you're not reading. Some reaction, that means you know exactly what I'm talking about. I've always told Bill I'm going to pick out a reading for him sometime that has nothing but names. And I was going to have him to read 1 Chronicles, the first six chapters. But actually, it could have been the entire book. But Genesis 1, 26 through 27 does fit in. Brian did a great job reading that. But I will get to that in just a moment. So here's what I want you to do with me. I want you to go to the book of 1 Chronicles, and I want you to kind of follow through the outline of what is happening in the book of 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles is written to the children of Israel coming out of the Babylonian captivity. It is far ahead of the time frame of where we are with the stories taking place in 1 and 2 Samuel and 1 and 2 Kings. 1 Chronicles is when the children of Israel come back out of that Babylonian captivity, and God is writing 1 Chronicles to them with a purpose in mind. Here's the purpose. It's written to the children of Israel, not necessarily the kingdom of Israel, because that kingdom was pretty much destroyed long before the people of Judah went into Babylonian captivity. Some of the tribes are still there. All the tribes are still represented. And some of those tribes may have come back due to circumstances they were in when the kingdom of Judah came back, or at least a good portion of them. But it's the children of Israel, it's the kingdom of Judah coming out of Babylonian captivity and coming back to the promised land. God writes this book to remind them of who they are and where they came from and who you are to be. And if you notice in chapter 1, it begins at the very beginning with Adam and Eve. It will take us down through all the periods of history until we come to the kingdom of David. In 2 Chronicles, we start with Solomon and we go through to the end of the kingdom of Judah when they go into Babylonian captivity. But in 1 Chronicles, we go from the beginning all the way to David's kingdom. And David's kingdom is the high mark. It is the golden age of the kingdom of Judah. And from him, it goes downhill. There are a few kings of Judah that do good. One almost as good as David, or as well as David. But for the most part, they begin this decline and they move away from God. And they eventually go into Babylonian captivity. And God is writing the books of 1 Chronicles and 2 Chronicles to remind them of why and to tell them why. But what I want you to do with me for just a second is to focus on the names. As you start in the first six chapters, you have all the names of the people who lived from the time of Adam until the flood came. Then you have the descendants of Noah and how they grew, and then the descendants of Abraham, then the descendants of Esau and the descendants of Isaac. And then you have all the tribes of Israel, and all those names are given of each and every one of them. Do you know this? You all do if we just think about it. Every single individual in the world has at least three ancestors named in the Bible. At least three ancestors named in the Bible for every individual in the world. And it may be, if you go back far enough, you can come up with more than that. But you have Adam. Every single one of us are descended from Adam. And then as the population grew, everything was reduced back to eight. And that's Noah, and every single one of us are descended from Noah. And every single one of us are descended from one of his three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. So every single human being in the world has at least three ancestors recorded for us in the Bible. That's how this book of Chronicles begins. And then when it comes to the end of it, we have all of the soldiers that fought for David. We have all the listings of all of his mighty men. We have the listings of all of his commanders. And as we get toward the end of the book, we have the listing of all the people that were his gatekeepers, all the people that were the priests under him, all the people that were the singers, all the people that took part in the worship that took place in the temple. And this book is filled with these names. But here's something important. And here's something we need to realize. That with all of these names, even though every single one of them are listed, it doesn't tell us the history. It doesn't tell us anything about what they did. Their names are just listed. And it doesn't tell us, even though it gives us the history they lived in and the time they lived in, it doesn't go into detail with any of the names listed about what they in particular did. Now, some of the stories include these names. And with some of the stories that we're told, we find out some of the things that they did. But do you realize what this is? This is a church directory. It's got the names of everybody that's supposed to be here. It's got the names of everybody that's supposed to be what God would have them to be. But that's all it is a church directory. And that's not all that important at all. Just the church directory. Why am I saying that? I'll tell you in just a second. The names don't tell us about their lives and don't tell us what they did during the days they lived in. It doesn't tell us what was happening with them. Just think about it for a second. We have names of the people who lived before the flood. How did they live? Were they a part of the reason God decided, that's it, I'm getting rid of the world? We're going to start all over with eight people. Were they a part of that? Or were they a part of the group of people that created faithfulness and allowed Noah to become a man of faith? Were they that kind of individual? We're not told about every single one of them. And then after the flood, we have the names of individuals who lived after the flood. What were they like? Were they a part of that group that wanted to build that Tower of Babel? Were they a part of that group that thought they could become as powerful as God and could do whatever they wanted to do? Or were they a group of people that were faithful to God? Then you have the time they were in Egypt. We have their names. We know the names of the people that were there in the land of Egypt during that time of those 400 years when they were in slavery. What kind of people were they? How did they live toward God? How were they faithful toward God? We're not told that. Then we have the 40 years in the wilderness. We have the names of the people who walked during those 40 years. But what part of the group were they? Do you remember how many of the group that came out of the land of Egypt, God said, are going to be the only ones that go into the promised land? Two. So what were the rest of them doing? And how were the rest of them living? So when God destroys the world, he comes down to eight. When he limits those going into the promised land from the adults to those who've been faithful to him, he comes down to two. What were the rest of them doing? And how were the rest of them living? Their names are in the Bible. But what good does that do? It's just like a church directory. There's something we're going to that we need to pay attention to in just a second. What about during the days of Joshua? When Joshua and those leaders were alive and were strong for God, how was everybody else doing? Well, it didn't last very long, because after Joshua died, then we come to the time of the judges. And what's going on in the days of the judges? In the days of the judges, everybody did whatever he wanted to do. It didn't matter what God said. It didn't matter what God wanted. It didn't matter what God had instructed. Everybody did what God, or rather what they wanted to do. We have people's names down in the book of Chronicles who lived during that time. And during the days of Saul. During the days of David. What we need to understand is there's another book. There's another book, God's writing. There's another book, and it's first talked about by Moses. Then it's talked about in the book of Psalms. Then it's talked about in the book of Daniel. And then Paul writes about it. And then it's talked about in the book of Revelation. And it's not a church directory. And the ones who are listed in the Bible may or may not be in that other book. And the ones who live today may or may not be in that other book, no matter where their name is on the church directory. What's that other book? Well, look at it. In the book of Exodus chapter 32, 32 through 34, "But now," Moses says to God, "but now please forgive their sin. But if not, then blot me out of the book you have written." The Lord replied to Moses, "Whoever has sinned against me, I will blot out of my book. Now go, lead the people to the place I spoke of, and my angel will go before you. However, when the time comes for me to punish, I will punish them for their sin." There's a book being written. And Moses said, "If you're not going to forgive them, take my name out of the book." And God said, "Whoever sins, that's who I take out of the book." Well, there's names of individuals who sinned against God that are still in this book. It's not this book that he's talking about. We go to the book of Psalms. A psalm that records at least two of the sayings said by Jesus. And in Psalm 69, he's talking about the writer of the book of Psalms, those who pay no attention to God and who sin against him, and who are trying to kill him. And he says, "May they be blotted out of the book of life and not be listed with the righteous." Well, now we know what the book's called. The book is called the book of life. And we know what the book is. The book is the listing not of genealogies. It's the listing of the righteous. Those that actually listen to God. Those that actually pay attention to him. Those who actually heed what he says. Daniel writes about it in Daniel chapter 12 and verse 1. When God is telling Daniel about what's coming, he says, "At that time, Michael, the great prince who protects your people, will arise. There will be a time of distress such as has not happened from the beginning of nations until then. But at that time, your people," everyone whose name is found written in the book of life, "your people," those who are faithful to God, "they will be delivered." The ones whose names are written in the book of life. Paul writes about it. Philippians chapter 4, verse 3. "Yes, and I ask you, my true companion, help those women since they have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers, whose names are in the book of life. Those faithful Christians who worked with Paul. Those faithful Christians who helped Paul. Their names, Paul said, is written in the book of life. Their names are in the book of Philippians, but that's not the book of life. There are other people whose names are in the book of Philippians. There are other individuals whose names are in the Bible. That's not the book of life. Not from the standpoint of that listing God is making and writing of those who remain faithful to Him. You have your Bibles? Start with me in Revelation chapter 3. This book, the book of Revelation, is the one that has more to say about the book of life than any other book in the Bible. And I want you to start reading with me in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 5, when Jesus is talking to the church at Sardis, and this is what he says. He talks about in verse 4, you have a few people in Sardis who've not sold their clothes. They walk dressed in white, for they are worthy. Those are the faithful ones. The one who is victorious will, like them, be dressed in white. I will never blot out the name of that person from the book of life, but will acknowledge that name before my Father and his angels. Book of life. The ones that remain faithful. The ones that do as God would have them to do. Chapter 13 and verse 8. This is said about the book of life. All inhabitants of the earth will worship the beast. The beast can be referred to as Satan or as the Satan's right arm. In the book of Revelation, the beast is more often than not the government. Because anytime you have a government that is not under the rule of God, but thinks that it is God, you have the beast. And the beast then takes over. All inhabitants of the earth will worship the beast, all whose names have not been written in the Lamb's book of life. The Lamb who was slain from the creation of the world. Whose names are not written in the Lamb's book of life? Those that worship the beast pay no attention to what the Father has to say. Chapter 17, verse 8. The Bible will tell us this. The beast which you saw once was, now is not, and yet will come up out of the abyss and go to its destruction. The inhabitants of the earth, whose names have not been written in the book of life from the creation of the world, will be astonished when they see the beast, because it once was, now is not, and yet will come. Those whose names are not written in the book of life are astonished at the beast, and they worship it, and they follow the beast. The ones whose names are written in the book of life are not impressed by the beast. They are impressed by God and what God would have them to do. Chapter 20. Chapter 20, we're going to read three verses, starting with verse 12. The Bible says this. I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and the books were opened. Different books. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. What's the first books? The deeds of every individual that's ever lived. Every individual that ever lived is in that book. It's the book of life, and it describes the actions and the deeds taken by every human being that's ever lived. And every human being is in that book. The sea gave up the dead that were in it, and Dathan and Hades gave up the dead that were in them. And each person was judged according to what they had done, which is recorded in the book, but not the book of life. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second death. And anyone whose name was not found written in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire. So the book that contains the deeds of every human being. The ones who are faithful, they are in the book of life. That's the other book. I saw an interview after having read through the book of Chronicles. and realizing the direction I thought would be good for us to go and to consider today, I saw an interview on television that I was amazed at the interview and what was going on and the direction that it took, and it hit at the very heart of what I wanted all of us to be able to see. The interview was on Fox News. It was on the Tucker Carlson show. And it was an interview that Tucker Carlson was having with a man by the name of Eric Metaxas. I'd not heard of Mr. Metaxas before, but I was greatly impressed by what he had to say. The question that they were considering is, why is it becoming less important to have children today? Why is it that fewer and fewer young people, when they get married, want to have children? And Mr. Metaxas began to describe it, and what he said first kind of leads into his answer to the whole question. And what he said at first was, when society encroaches, the Bible becomes less important. When the world we live in and society around us encroaches into us, then the Bible becomes less important and less significant for us with regard to our lives. And he illustrated that, Mr. Metaxas did, by saying this. If you go into a culture where it is conservative Christian or conservative Jewish or conservative Islam, you will find people having lots of children. But if you go into a culture where the Bible and God are no longer significant and no longer important, they will not be having children. Because children cost you time. They cost you money. It takes energy and time and money to raise a child. And it's hard to raise a child. And most people don't want to go through the difficulty. They don't want their life to be interrupted, nor their money that they want to use for themselves to be spent on something else. Bottom line, out of selfishness, they don't want children. And the passages in the Bible that say, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth, mean absolutely nothing to them. They don't take that as something that's significant and important, nor a joy. And therefore, they don't have children, and they're not interested in children. The next quotation I've had changed because it's put up. What I had written out originally, what's on my notes, and if you have the notes, it says 1 in 4 do not belong to a religious group. What he actually said was only 1 person in 4 in America and Europe today belong to a religious group. Most individuals are not claiming any kind of religious affiliation. Now, that's kind of hard for us to believe and comprehend where we are and living in the area that we live in. But you go to a different country, you go to Europe, you go anywhere else in the United States, and it's not hard to comprehend at all. It's the reality that only about 1 in 4 even claim to be on a church roll. Only about 1 in 4 even are concerned about being on a church roll. And a church roll don't matter. The only thing that matters is the Book of Life. And they are absolutely unconcerned about being in this Book of Life. And then Mr. Metaxas says this. The reason all this is taking place is because if we evolve from the soup, if evolution is true, and if we, as everyone is teaching us, evolve from the soup, then life has no meaning. Notice where God took the people of Israel back in order to show them what you're here for and why you're here. It's the book of Genesis. Because before a human being was ever made, God had a plan. God had a purpose. And that plan and that purpose included every single human being that's going to be lived, are going to be allowed to live. And every single one of us are going to stand before Him in judgment. God had a plan before it all began. Since there is no God, we can have guilt-free pleasure. If there is no God, we can do what we want to do. If there is no God, I can live how I want to live. And some even water down the idea of God to the point where I know God loves me and God's going to forgive me no matter what I do. And that's almost the same as saying there is no God. And since there is no God, then we can have guilt-free pleasure. We can do whatever we want to do. Now look at this and think about it. When in the history of humanity has it ever been any different? It never has been any different. What happened in the Garden of Eden? A voice came along that said, you don't have to listen to God. You can eat of that tree. Nothing bad's going to happen to you. And so they ate of the tree and they did what society encroaching on them had said was okay. And when society encroached, what God said just simply went away. And that's exactly what happened in the Garden of Eden. That's what happened in the wilderness. That's what happened in the Day of Judges. That's what happened with the children of Israel, which took them into Babylonian captivity. That's what's happened in every generation all through humanity. And here we are, right in the middle of it. Continuing with the interview. What we need, Mr. Matakis said, are Christians who are serious. We got a lot of Christians who are not serious. It was interesting the way he defined what serious is. What I mean by not serious, he says, is we got a lot of people that go to church and they got no reason, no idea of why they're there. Other than what I'm supposed to be, it's what we've always done. But they have no reason why they're there. No reason or no idea of what they believe and why they believe it. What they need to hold to and why they need to hold to it. What God actually says and why He says it. They're not serious. They just show up. Sometimes not that often. Why do you go? Why go at all? It becomes easier not to go because people don't really believe that stuff anyway. How crowded was it coming out of your subdivision coming to church this morning with all the other people flooding the get out? How crowded would it be getting back into your subdivision this afternoon as all the people try to get back in? How easy is it now for us to say, well, it's not all that important. Besides, we've got other important things that are going to take our time today. And we need to take advantage of those things that the world allows us to take part in. And this stuff is not really all that important. Because after all, who believes it anyway? And so there we go. When the world encroaches, the Bible diminishes. And the Word of God diminishes. And is determined by each individual life. Yesterday, we were at the funeral for Norma Neighbors. After the funeral was over, one of her cousins, now in her 80s, came up to me and was talking to me, and she said this. She says, I thank God every day, and I have for a long time, that we had parents who taught us what was right and why it was right. And that's the way they grew up. She grew up with Miss Norma. And there were a lot of that family gathered around that grave yesterday who shared those same feelings. We had parents who taught us what was right and who directed us in the way that was right. I'll tell you a personal story, and then we'll close. My mom was blessed with three young men, three little boys, 18 months apart. I was the oldest, And my twin brothers, Larry and Gary, were 18 months after me. And we moved to Decatur, Alabama, which is where we were brought up. When we were very young, I was probably 3 or 4, my mother was not faithful. Dad was at work, worked Sundays. At the time, Dad was not a Christian. Dad later becomes a Christian and becomes an elder in the church at Memorial Drive, Beltline congregation. But at the time, he was not a Christian. My mother was not faithful. Being busy with us, doing other things, new mother, all of those situations just kind of put things on hold. Until one day, her 3 boys went out to play, and she overheard one of them say to the others, "Let's play in the backyard so nobody will know we're not going to church." Mother was hit by that. She told the preacher of the congregation at Memorial Drive about the little thing that she had heard. He wrote a bulletin article about it. And Mom restored her life to Christ and lived faithful for the rest of her life. We don't have that peer pressure today. Our children are not growing up with that kind of peer pressure, except in very select environments. The peer pressure today is that stuff's not important. The peer pressure today is the world is encroaching and you want to enjoy the world. There is a book, and God is writing it. He calls it the Book of Life. It's the book of all those that are faithful, who don't allow society to encroach, but who remain faithful to Him no matter what direction society goes. Are you in Christ? Are you ready to become a Christian? Do you need to come home to Christ? We offer you His invitation as together we stand and as we sing.